Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And by the way, what we now know that Congressman Peter King was proposing moments ago was legislation that would make it a federal crime to carry a gun within 1,000 feet of a political event. So, listeners, what do you think about that? Proposing legislation is Republican Congressman Peter King of Long Island that would make it a federal crime to carry a gun within 1,000 feet of a political event. You can post your reactions to that on our webpage at itsafreecountry.org. And now there's been a lot of discussion about Jared Loughner's mental state before Saturday's shooting rampage. And if you've looked at today's papers and seen the smiling police photo of Loughner, you get a sense that something appeared amiss. We now turn to Dr. Michael Stone, a forensic psychiatrist here in New York, to try to understand more about Loughner's state of mind and some of the mental health issues involved in a larger sense. Dr. Stone, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So, from what you can tell, where would you start to describe Jared Loughner's state of mind at the time of the shooting?
He appeared extremely paranoid. He also has that paranoid glare with the piercing eyes and the fixed smile. We also know that he probably was entertaining thoughts of suicide and perhaps being committing suicide by cop. He was going to assassinate Gifford and presumably be shot in the process. Because he was dealing with both with suicidal and paranoid thoughts for some time before the incident. But for several years, he was also exhibiting more and more signs of mental illness of a paranoid sort. I think some people have characterized it as though he were paranoid schizophrenic. But the thing is, he was abusing marijuana, as far as we can tell, pretty heavily for several years. He had that arrest back in 07 for possession, presumably of marijuana, and it was taken off the books when he went through a program that they said he should go to for a month, etc. But that didn't stop him from continuing to use the drug. And I'm sitting here at Mid-Hudson Psychiatric, the forensic psychiatric hospital at the moment that we're talking, and I've been conducting a study of the effects of marijuana on adolescents. There's a certain proportion of adolescents who are very susceptible to the effects of marijuana, and if they abuse it before age 17 or 18, they're very likely to begin having persecutory ideas, paranoid ideas. They may have auditory and visual hallucinations, and they end up with a condition that looks for all the world like paranoid schizophrenia. Some people have called it marijuana madness, and there's even a book that I have with many articles called Marijuana Madness. And I find that about a third of the patients in the forensic hospital, some of whom have committed murder, have done so under the influence of marijuana and sometimes with a little cocaine added. So I think that this fellow may not necessarily have been in the way of developing schizophrenia on his own had it not been for the drugs. We don't know that, but apparently he was more ordinary, well-dressed, had some friends, etc., when he was younger, and then began to change 4 or 5 years ago. So it's not unthinkable that he had some warp in his personality. He came from apparently dysfunctional home, and he then, under the influence of the marijuana, with his own shyness perhaps, or distrustfulness, or inability to make it with the ladies, or whatever it was, he began to abuse the drug and then transform his personality along these very paranoid lines, and he began toward the end to think in a very strange way. I think there was a YouTube he put out, and I was able to download some of that. Apparently, he had even asked Gifford at a previous event, he had asked the question in one of his town hall meetings, what is government if words have no meaning? Well, she didn't answer that, because how can you? It's a stupid, it's a irrational statement. And then he became miffed that she didn't respond to him, and that seemed to have perhaps set him in the way of being angry at her and having a grudge against Congressman Gifford.
Loeffner also wrote on the Internet, the government is implying mind control and brainwash on the people by controlling grammar. Another sentence that's hard to understand. Is that typical of the kind of thinking, not necessarily that particular thought, but the kind of thinking of people who suffer from schizophrenia and paranoia?
Yes. Yes, he did say that the government was seeking to control people through grammar and that you could develop a third language. And he had all sorts of other odd comments about eating and sleeping and brushing your teeth and so on. He was denied the opportunity to enlist in the Army in 2008 because of his drug abuse. So that gives the idea that he was continuing to abuse drugs, not after that. In other words, the program that they put him in 2007 did not stop him from using the drug. But his idea is becoming increasingly bizarre, really. And as you know, the girl that sat in class with him and was very troubled by him wanted to sit on the chair next to the door, so that if he did start shooting up everybody, she would be the first one to be able to get out the door, so that he was alarming people through his speaking out of turn in class and saying peculiar things to the teachers and just behaving bizarrely, that he was going to be the next school shooter. Well, he was the next shooter, but the one in school.
Sure enough. So from where you sit as a forensic psychiatrist, what do you make of the political discussion? Because the context is that this did happen in a very polarized, angry district in southern Arizona to a congresswoman whose office had been vandalized before, who had received death threats, who had gone on television to publicly denounce Sarah Palin for publishing that crosshairs map that included her district during the election campaign. I mean, there's all of this political context, which would lead somebody, if they had to pick, you know, which member of Congress would be the most likely target of an act of violence, they probably would have picked Gabby Giffords anyway. And now, from where you sit as a forensic psychiatrist, with all you've been describing about Jared Loeffner's mindset, do you come to the conclusion that what happened was completely irrelevant to all that political context or not?
I don't think it was completely irrelevant. I think that if you're in an area and an atmosphere where there's a lot of controversy and electrifying comments about a particular situation, be it political or religious or whatever, and you're then you put into that mix a person who was becoming increasingly paranoid and deranged, whether on his own or whether under the effects of the drug or the two combined, because after all, he could have had some predisposition to mental illness, which then aggravated with the drug. But either way, those people are more apt to be swept along, and they become intensely preoccupied with whatever is the topic of the day, just like in Pakistan when the man was the governor of the Punjab, Taseer, was shot to death by his own bodyguard for trying to talk against a death penalty for blasphemy. Then you have 100,000 people in Karachi marching on behalf of, yes, let's keep blasphemy as a death penalty crime. And some people begin to be very outspoken about it. So the ones who are the paranoid ones, the militant ones, the ones who grab onto an idea and run 100 yards with it, are become the most vocal exponents of it. And so if Loeffner was already becoming radicalized in a way or prone to pick up some idea of the day that struck his fancy, then because of his mental instability and madness, he's going to be the one who's caught up in it, whereas other people who are also hearing controversy but are more level-headed and calm are able to think about it calmly, as you and I, and they're not going to go around and start buying bullets in Walmart and trying to, you know, shoot up various government officials. So I think he was swept up in what was a current, an atmosphere there because of the way that certain ideas were becoming intensifying.
And what would you say to some advocates for people with mental illness who have been concerned by this duality? Oh, either it was political or he was just mentally ill, which, you know, according to the advocates, too casually associates violence with mental illness, when the vast majority of people who have one mental illness or another don't come anywhere near committing an act of violence.
Yes, that's true. The having a severe psychosis like schizophrenia or manic illness, where there's actual departure from reality to the point where there's, we call it psychosis, people in that group are five times as likely to commit a violent act at some point in the near future as people in the general population. But that only carries it from 1% to 5%, which means that 95% of mentally ill people with psychosis lead their lives and never commit a violent act at all. But the ones who are paranoid and who, in addition, abuse drugs, whether it be alcohol or marijuana or cocaine, that increases the likelihood just about off the chart. So that in Monahan's study down in Baltimore, when you have schizophrenia times alcohol abuse, then the prediction for violence within the next year or so after you make these diagnoses goes up in around 30%. So the point is that there's huge groups of mentally ill people who never commit any act of violence in their whole life, and that's the majority. And then there's a subgroup of psychotic people with a paranoid tendency who, in addition, abuse alcohol or drugs. And now in that group, the likelihood of violent reactions is enormous.
By the way, we're getting a lot of pushback from many listeners on our comments page and on our phones. I'm going to take one phone call for you as a sample to what you said before about the possible role of marijuana in committing violent acts or causing schizophrenia. And we'll hear from Alex in Park Slope on this. Alex, you're on WNYC with forensic psychiatrist Michael Stone. Hello.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it just seems that so much of this, I mean, can't we just say that, well, maybe we really just don't know right now and it's a little too soon? And so much of this kind of like reaching to say, well, it could have been this cocktail or it could have been this cocktail just kind of seems really pointless right now, especially because there are millions of mentally ill people and millions of 20-somethings and millions of the both, you know, that smoke pot or are mentally ill and together, and that, you know, maybe we just, it's too soon to say, and trying to say that marijuana is like a huge cause of this just seems pretty ridiculous to me.
People don't like to acknowledge the effects of marijuana abused heavily in certain adolescents, but the facts are out there, whether you care to believe it or not. And even though there are many somewhat older adolescents and young people who use marijuana with some regularity and have no trouble with it, there is a subgroup who are very sensitive. And if you abuse it extremely heavily, it will knock anybody off their pins, even if they do not have a mental illness beforehand.
I was reading online about this morning, and there was at least one article that said, well, there have been theories that schizophrenia is more common in people who smoke a lot of marijuana, especially teenagers who smoke a lot of marijuana. But what they really find when they dig below the top line statistics is that it's really that males tend to develop schizophrenia more and earlier than females, and males tend to use marijuana a lot more than females. And so there could be a false association. Also, that the only proven link, according to this one article, which I don't know how credible it is that the onset might be a couple of years earlier, more around 20 than 22 kind of thing.
There's not much meat on that bone, really. There is a male preponderance in schizophrenia, but it's not that marked. It may be like 55-45. So there's a heck of a lot of studies there's a great many studies to the effect that marijuana when it's smoked regularly, once a day or several times a day, in adolescents, female and male, is going to produce a schizophrenia-like or a bipolar manic-like reaction. But men in general are far more likely to commit violence than women, so that it has nothing to do with male preponderance in schizophrenia. Men are more likely to commit violence than women, period.
Dr. Michael Stone, forensic psychiatrist here in New York, thank you very much for coming on with us and talking about Jared Loughner and related issues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we come back in just a minute, we will play a few clips from the news conference that Mayor Bloomberg has been holding this morning, both on gun violence and on the snow. And we will hear Peter King, congressman from Long Island, who was at that news conference, proposing a new bill that would make it a federal crime to carry a gun within 1,000 feet of a political event. Stay with us, and you can call us with your reactions, 212-433-WNYC. Would you like to see that law? 212-433-9692.